Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director of the James Dobson Family Institute and President of the American Association of Christian Counselors. Wanting to take just a brief moment to let you know that we love, appreciate, and are praying for you. Our entire team here at Family Talk is doing that very thing. And we also wanted to encourage you, if you're struggling or you could use some encouragement, to feel free to call us and pray with us. Our toll-free number is 877-732-6825. That number again is 877-732-6825. Or you could also connect with us online at drjamesdobson.org. Thanks for letting us be a part of your life every day. We are going to get through this. Dr. Dobson said, we are going to get through this challenging time, and we're going to do it together. Let's go now to our regular programming.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk. I'm your host, James Dobson, and today we're revisiting a family that I have known since, I guess, the late 1980s, but we really got acquainted in 1990 when Randy and Marcia Heckman came to do a radio program with us, and we have been friends ever since. They're parents of many children, that's part of the story, and God has blessed them for bearing and raising children. I heard about this special couple some years ago, and I asked them to come and be my guest, and we did two programs together that had an impact on, I think, millions of people across the country, and you're going to understand that more as we get into it. Now, that recording still exists, but it has deteriorated. It has a hum in it. So we're going to go back to 1990, and I want them to tell their story again and then bring it up to date.
Time flies whether or not you're having fun.
Randy was a probate juvenile court judge for 15 years before resigning to serve as executive director for the Michigan Family Forum. Why don't you start by telling us what that is?
Well, Michigan Family Forum is what you call a family policy council, and they exist in different states and exist to help communicate the values of family to culture, to the church, but in large part to government as well. And so that's where we were located in Lansing, Michigan, which, of course, is the capital city of Michigan.
Yes.
And so we would advocate for things like divorce reform and for charter schools and more parent-centered education and other things like that.
Well, and you've had quite a career. You're sort of like Forrest Gump. You show up everywhere. But again, I'm so glad that you're here
today.
Because your story is amazing. Now, let's go back to the point where you were married and began your life together and started having babies, as a matter of fact. Marcia, tell us about that.
I really wanted to have a child right away, but Randy's like, well, we should wait, and I want you to teach school. I had a teaching degree, so I busily got active in finding a job. As we got married in June, we both graduated from college. He went to MIT, and I went to Northern Illinois, and moved to D.C., where he worked in the Pentagon, and I began to look for a job and was hired in a Thomas Jefferson High School in Alexandria, Virginia, and
as
taught
a teacher.
School. Yes, for 2 years, taught school. And I always wished I could have a baby, but he said, just give that desire to God, which was good counsel. So I just gave it up to God, and then I could function and do, you know, what God wanted me to do right then. But after a couple years, then he said, okay, I think it's good timing to have our first child, God willing. And so I got pregnant right away with our first child, Michelle. And very sweet little girl. And then I really wanted another child. It's kind of, God just put this in my heart. I always loved dolls as a little girl, too. It's kind of interesting.
It turns out you're kind of a baby machine, as a matter of fact.
It's such a privilege, though, that God, I don't know, he changes hearts to make us want what he wants. So we had Brene, soon after, 17 months later, and then my mom saying, no, don't have any more kids. But then still, God had that desire in our hearts, so I got pregnant with Alicia, our third born, who was a very strong-willed little darling. But then we thought, I guess we will wait for a while now. But amazingly, I got pregnant with Mary Ann, the fourth little treasure girl. And so we have four little girls, and I was really busy, and they were year and a half to 2 years apart. But I was telling God one day, okay, this is enough children, God. And I still remember where I was in our house when I prayed that. Some of these prayers, it's something what a prayer can do, how really things that happen with prayer. So I'm telling God, okay, God, this is enough. But something in me, I think it was the Holy Spirit. I just thought, I'm telling God not to make another person. What if God wants me to have another child? What if he has that in the plan?
Yeah, are we telling him what we're going to do with our lives?
Right. And so I thought, well, God, I still kind of looked up at the ceiling. God, if you want us to have another child, you got to change Randy's heart. Show us. What do you want?
And Randy, you weren't really excited about that possibility.
That is an understatement. I mean, I thought, wow, four kids. I mean, I had three sisters, no brothers. Marcia had two sisters, no brothers. I mean, I didn't have a category for more than four kids. And I just said, it's clear to me that, I mean, we can't afford anymore. Our house can't fit anymore. Our car can't fit anymore. And I wanted an airplane. Flying a private plane was kind of my hobby, and I dreamed of owning a six-passenger airplane. And so it was, to me, it was a good time to think about stopping.
In other words, if you had another baby at that point, you would not have had enough money to buy that airplane.
No, I couldn't afford
it. So it was really a choice between a coveted hobby and yet another child.
Plus, people began to ask, do you know what causes this? And is that all? And I mean, you get those sorts of comments. Jesus said, we're sheep. We follow one another. And the culture was pretty much, you have your two, your three kids, maybe four kids, but that's pretty much it. And so I actually, maybe too much information here, but I had a urinary tract infection along the way. And I went to the urologist. I said, would it help if I had a vasectomy? Would it solve the problem? And he dashed my hopes by saying, no, actually it wouldn't. In fact, the best thing would be to continue to relate appropriately with your wife on a regular basis. And so that particular way out of my dilemma stop. But at the same time, after Marcia prayed, I started seeing in the Old Testament how God opens the womb. He closes the womb. And that children, Psalm 127, children are a blessing. Well, I'll take all the money blessing, all the health blessing, but children? That didn't feel like a blessing. That's work.
Well, and you had four, so how much blessing want me to have?
Exactly. But I just felt before him that what we needed to do was to go cold turkey and let him make this decision. But in my heart, believe it or not, I said, I know, God, that you are very wise and you are very merciful and that you can see what I can see. And you really want me to have that airplane, too. And so we're going to not practice any method of birth control, but you're going to close her womb. I know you will. Well, a couple months later, she with a smile pats her stomach and says she doesn't feel so good. And in my mind, I could see this green Cessna 206 in a graveyard spiral. And she said, aren't you happy, Randy? And I lied. I said, oh, yeah. And honestly, I was just thinking, what have we done?
You were also feeling guilty, were you not, for putting an airplane above what might be God's will?
Well, I should have felt guilty, Jim, but to be honest with you, I probably didn't at the moment. But now I feel guilty.
Well, you have forgotten the guilt because that's what you told me.
Okay. Yes, it passed it with time. But honestly, I should, and I do. I mean, the reality is shame on me. That I do feel. That I really believe that my attitude, which says that I'm going to control this area of my life. Just think about what we're talking about. We're going to control this area of our life where God, look at Psalm 139, verse 13. It says, you, and the Hebrew is emphatic, you alone formed me in my mother's womb, says David to God. We're talking about telling God we're not going to let you form any more children in our lives. We're not going to cooperate with you anymore. And just to think what we're telling God. He says, God, you can't make another child, just like Marcia was praying. And that child has the potential of changing life in this world and living forever. And I'm going to make that decision?
Mm.
That is just incredible that we think that way.
And Marcia, you were thinking the same thoughts, that God will make this decision.
Oh, yes. I saw that. It was kind of like peeking out of a closet, like, is it okay, God, to think this? I think you're saying have more kids, but no one's telling you to have more kids. But you're like, it seems like it's right. You know, it seems like God's leading us that we should be open to having another child. And so when I got pregnant, I thought, wow, this is a great. God's giving us another child. Mm-hmm. And because he does change your heart. You know, mm-hmm. he'll put his desires. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's so cool. So that he makes you want what he wants.
Marcia, you shared with me one time an experience you had listening to the radio. You were listening to Dr. Chuck Swindoll.
Right.
And he said something that got to you.
Yeah, I remember putting my ear next to the radio because I heard it once and then I went and I replayed it at another time or got the tape, but it was so powerful. He was saying, are you willing to let me use your body like Mary to produce life? And that was what God asked Mary, you know, I want to use you in so many words to bring this child. And that's what he was asking me. And I was like, yes, God. And I just knew he was saying that to me. And he would say that to me in the Bible, different verses too, that the Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. I saw that early on. I thought, okay, God, you're going to give me children.
And your answer was yes.
Yes.
As Mary's answer was.
Yeah, I said, yes, Lord. Because I've had women say to me when I might share in a group, they'd say, is it wrong that I want another child? Like, no, God puts these in our hearts as women. Bring this to God and pray if your husband doesn't want children that God will change their heart because it's a high calling. As I look around and just picturing my kids even in this room who aren't here, like each one is like a work of art. We don't own our children.
Yeah.
He owns these children. And if they start going bad, sometimes some of our kids will go a wrong direction. It hurts a mom's heart, but he tells me, no, I want you to give this child to me. It's a way of us growing, getting sanctification as moms. And I didn't always do it right. I would say, no, God, don't let my child go in the wrong direction. It would hurt so much, and I would try to fix it. But he repeatedly says, give this child to me. Even when they're going wrong, trust them to my care. One of them was going a wrong direction, and I couldn't give him. I just kept carrying this burden. And one day I just said, okay, God, I give you this son, and even if he never changes, he's in your hand. And I just remember that day God got him and brought him back. He turned around in his life without me even talking to him. That was just showing me on that one. It doesn't happen every time like that, but they really are his workmanship. He owns our children if we're wise. Give your children to God and just trust them to him. Be available, but you can't grasp them and just try to make them what you want because they have a free will and they're in his hands and he will win. He promises.
So you had four and yes. This would be number five.
Yes.
And you got pregnant.
Yes, I was excited. I thought, this is cool.
She was excited.
How'd you feel, Randy?
I was a basket case for probably 2 weeks, and then I began to think, wait a minute, God is sovereign. It's going to be okay. We're going to make this.
Now, you're not a wealthy man. You weren't then, certainly.
No, we were
and
not independently wealthy.
Did you
wealthy.
Have enough money to be able to handle this?
All I can say is he has met our need incredibly all along. But at that moment, I had doubts, you know, whether we could do this. We're going to need to get a bigger car and our house. We're going to outgrow our house. And those are concerns. But we have just seen through our life that he continues to meet our needs just miraculously.
He can make galaxies. I mean, he is a big God if we were willing
Amen.
To walk with him and try to keep listening.
That's kind of a theme of your life, Marcia, and it inspires us all. All right, what about number six?
Well, then, you know, we began to pray again right after she gave birth. And Just so you understand, there's a number of things about Marcia. She hates pain.
I do. I really
do. I'm convinced she feels air molecules hitting her skin. We've had big babies, okay? So you don't talk about this immediately after the birth or after the first 6 weeks.
No.
But then we go along. I'd ask her. We'd go out for eat. We typically would date once a week. You know, that's been an important thing. I think you've helped us do that, frankly, with your counsel over the years. And I say, well, Marcia, what's your dream? And I can remember her time and time again. What would you say?
I want to have another baby. God put that desire in my heart.
Early on now.
Yeah.
You got five.
Yeah.
You got little kids running all over the place.
It's true.
And I don't know how to do everything at all. I need him so much. But he puts that desire.
And we didn't go back to preventing, children from being born. And so we said, okay, we're open. And she would become pregnant. And
precious Suzanne.
Susie.
She's a treasure.
Yeah.
I wish you could just see them all. How she's darling, little blonde,
She's
loves Jesus and gift of helping. She helps so many people.
She's one of those few kids that if the dishes need to be done, she's at the sink doing the dishes. You don't have to tell her. You know, we have two of those in our family. But.
Only two, but no, the others learn too.
Okay, that was number six.
Then again, it's kind of the same process. And as we went along and people just kind of threw up their hands and said, well, you guys are going to do what you're going to do. Then John came along and Scott and Lori and then Daniel. So we had 10.
And it was at that point that I heard about you.
That's right.
About this family in Michigan that had 10 kids.
That's right.
And did so because they felt the Lord leading in that direction.
And he was making them in the womb. And there's a temptation for us to think that biology makes children. And therefore, man plus woman makes child. And therefore, we own this child. That's pernicious. Because if I own this child and it turns out to be a strong-willed child, you rue the day that you, quote, made that child. And, God owns these children.
That's right.
In fact, I remember a time, if I could share this, just calling Marcia about our third born. Okay, I called Marcia from, I was snowed in at some airport somewhere, and I called home. I said, Marcia, how's everything going? Well, when there's a 5-second pause after you ask that question,
trouble.
You should just hang up, right?
Sitting on the floor.
She says, your daughter is driving me up the wall. It's my daughter, right? So I said, put her on the phone. She wouldn't come to the phone. She was running around.
How old was she?
She was, 7, 8?
Maybe. It just was hard for those years, all the years.
So I remember going back to that plastic chair in the airport and just sitting down, and I started praying. And I had this brainstorm. This was genius. I said, God, what are you going to do with your child? And that was so good. And that girl now is married to a pastor, has 5 kids of her own, and just going
wonderful
for
girl.
Jesus 110%.
Well, that's really what I want to ask you, because when you look back on that number of children that you guys raised— does it touch your heart to think of any one of them that wouldn't be there? Oh. You know, you were making a decision about whether or not to add another one, but that person is now an individual accountable to God, will live someplace in eternity. Right. Can you imagine not producing those children?
And the impact they have then on others. Someone said, it wasn't original with me, but I love it, children are messages that we send to a time that we ourselves will never see. It's like they're missionaries to the future. And our children have touched lives around the country. It touches me to know that, again, but for the grace of God, I would have stopped at the 4. But now there's others that have come and they're touching lives around this country for eternity. Not one of us is perfect. We didn't raise them perfectly. But God in his mercy has just done incredible things. And I just think to him be the glory for what he's done.
Well, I know many of those kids, and they are precious individuals. Yeah. They're now grown and they're doing wonderful things. Some of them are physicians. Some are married to physicians. Some of them are professors. I mean, all of them are very bright and have made their contribution. But when I heard about you, you had 10, and we asked you to bring them to be in the in the gallery while we talked about those 10 children, and it turned out there are only 9 of them there. You had lost one on the way to the studio.
Well, I think it was your fault, actually.
Yeah, it's my fault.
Because you guys put us up generously in a hotel with 4 different hotel rooms. And Scotty, who was 6 years old, was watching cartoons on TV. He wasn't supposed to do that. And everyone else left, and he was so absorbed, and people just kind of left him. We got in this rented van, of course, that we had. We were supposed to be there at 9 in the morning. I remember looking at my watch when we rolled into your headquarters. It was 9 o'clock, and I said, made it. But then we left Scott back at the hotel.
Yeah, and how did that happen? Because I know you guys had a buddy system.
Yeah.
I learned about the buddy system from you because
broke
the older child's responsible for the certain individual, the younger children. How did you miss one?
How did that happen, Marcia?
I think it was just such a flurry of getting ready.
Yeah, we were getting ready, getting dressed, getting breakfast.
That person just, we got to get in. And he did say, oh, guys, great job. We made it as we rolled in. And they were like, yay. And
where's Scotty?
Where is that little guy that wasn't supposed to be watching?
Was he terrified?
Well, from his story, he also woke up. No one's around him. He walks out of the hotel room. And, of course, when a hotel room door closes, it locks. So he couldn't get back in. And then he said, first I cried, then I prayed. And then he saw a guy coming down the corridor in the hotel. He said, do you know Dr. Dobson? He said, I lost my parents. And apparently he knew you, and they called, and we were able to go rescue dear Scotty.
It's kind of terrifying.
And
where
he's now a pastor
child?
Down in Austin, Texas.
Does so he remember that today?
Oh, he kind of liked it.
He gets this twitch in his face. No, not really. He thinks that he was kind of a very special boy.
Was he mad at you?
No, I don't no, think he was.
He thinks he got so much attention through
that. He loved the attention.
Oh, you're the one that got lost. Oh, yeah. Look at me.
So we did 2 programs together.
True.
That day.
Yep.
And that was very, very special. And I've heard from so many people who were about to hang it up. They weren't going to have any more children. They heard you talk about the relationship between procreation and God Himself. And they chose to have more children. And today, they are grateful to you and to me for making them think about that idea. And you know what? Somebody else is thinking right now about the same thing, because this is a God-ordained moment. I'm not at all sure that we can, in fact, we can't speak for everybody out there. We can't say every one of you should choose to have as many children as will come along. But it is worth praying about, and it is worth thinking about. And you guys were open to what the Lord had to say. Marcia, it's not easy raising kids. You've already made reference to that today. You've got discipline problems. You got continual forever diapers. You have toddlerhood over and over and over again. How in the world? Well, you know what? We're out of time. We're going to start with that question next time. And I'm going to give the audience a hint. You weren't done. With
true.
That, thank you for being with us today. And I want you to sit right where you are, because we're going to do another program to talk about the rest of the story.
Thank you. It was so much fun.
That's
blessings
great.
To you.
Yeah,
and thank you for your love for the Lord, your love for children, and your desire to be in His will. That's the takeaway value from these programs. God be with you guys.
You
thank
too.
You.
You didn't leave anybody at home today, did you?
I don't
Sadly,
think we
they're
did.
Not there.
Okay.
Truly touching story from Randy and Marcia Heckman, our guests today here on this edition of Family Talk. They've been sharing their wonderful testimony of trusting in God in His goodness with their growing family. I hope that their faith has inspired you to adapt that same mentality in your walk with the Lord. I'm Roger Marsh, encouraging you to visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org for more information about the Heckmans. You can learn more about their lives and their ministry work.
Go to drjamesdobson.org and then click onto the broadcast page. Lastly, are you desiring more one-on-one time with your spouse? Well, we have a great resource for you. It's Dr. Dobson's book called Nightlight for Couples. It's a book he actually co-wrote with his wife, Shirley. Now, throughout the book, they address many tough marital subjects like finances, communication, intimacy, and more. This is an insightful tool that couples can use and discuss every night before going to bed. So rekindle and rediscover the emotional closeness in your marriage by requesting your copy of the Dobson's book called Nightlight for Couples. Simply go online to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Or call us at 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Dobson's conversation with Randy and Marcia Heckman. They'll continue talking about the growth of their family and how they learned to rely on God through that whole process. I'm Roger Marsh. That's coming up next time on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.